Pop Spotting 165.
Friday, November 18th, 2011. Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan, and it's Feedback Friday. And after a bit of a dry spell, we're thrilled to have a healthy serving of you this week, including our favorite dish, calls on the Pop Spotting voicemail line.
Hey, Ryan and Jen. Matt, a.k.a. Yodo808 from right here in Honolulu. Wanted to give you my thoughts on The Descendants, which I was also fortunate enough to see at the Hawaii International Film Festival. And I have to say, I think you guys might have stolen my notes on the film, because I really enjoyed The Descendants. I thought Clooney was great in the lead role of Matt King, and I especially loved the relationship that he had with his daughters. In general, overall, I thought the entire ensemble did a good job, even down to Matthew Lillard, who, you know, when I saw his name come up in the opening credits, I was just like, oh, not that guy from Scooby-Doo. But like you mentioned, I too thought he had a great understated role in the film. And I also want to tack on to a few things Ryan brought up about the film's authenticity. I thought Payne did an exceptional job depicting our local lifestyle, right down to the main character of Matt King. You know, I don't know anyone specifically like that, but there are people like that here. You know, they may not look local, they may not act local, but they are local. And it was things like that that I appreciated from the film. You know, anytime you have a film with George Clooney claiming Hawaiian, I'll take that movie any day of the week. So yeah, I really enjoyed The Descendants, and I'm putting it in my top 10 films of 2011. Love the show, and keep up the good work.
Thanks for your call, Matt. Always good to hear from you.
Yeah, I had totally forgotten about Scooby-Doo.
Yeah, I'm glad that that wasn't in my head when I went in to see The Descendants, and certainly another big fan of this film. He says it's already in his top 10 for the year. I think it's pretty easily going to be in my top 10, probably very high in my top 5, in fact. I will admit that because I live here, perhaps the film affected me a lot more deeply than it might affect someone else, but I just loved it that much. Is it going to make the ranks for you?
Oh, certainly. Certainly in my top 10. I mean, considering all the things that we've seen this year. And I really have grown to love it more now that I've had a chance to reflect on it.
Well, that's really good to hear. It's, you know, I felt kind of bad that it didn't move you the way that it moved me, but maybe it just had to seep in a little bit there.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to point out to anybody listening that this film is in limited release today. It's in only the major cities, the big cities, those movie cities. And trust me, we know what that's like because Honolulu is almost never one of those cities, but it goes into wider release next week, November 23rd, just in time for Thanksgiving, a great holiday movie, I would say. And I think you and I highly encourage people to go and see The Descendants.
Certainly, especially if you've ever been curious about traveling here or about even what life might be like here. It's certainly worth a look.
All right, and then we might have more on that later in this podcast. But let's move on to more feedback on The Descendants. And, you know, speaking of Scooby-Doo, perhaps another performer that was underestimated.
Hi, Ryan and Jen. This is Megan from Pennsylvania, and I just finished listening to your episode where you reviewed the movie set in Hawaii with George Clooney and Shailene Woodley, and I think the name was The Descendants. And I wanted to call in to kind of follow up on the recommendation you made for the strong performance of Shailene Woodley. And I know her, as you said, from The Secret Life of the American Teenager, and when I heard she was going to be in a movie with George Clooney, I thought, oh, God, they're going to, you know, try to age her and make her a love interest for him, and that's just so creepy. But I was glad to see she played his daughter, and I think it looks like a very promising film that I definitely want to see. But just wanted to touch on the show and The Secret Life of the American Teenager, or just Secret Life, as it's been branded. It's one of those shows that I have watched consistently, even though I basically hate it and I think it's complete garbage. And I have a friend who feels exactly the same way about it. And, in fact, it reminds us of another show by the same creator. I can't think of her name right now, but the same person who created this show did Seventh Heaven, which my husband and I like to refer to as Seventh Hell, because when it would come on in reruns, we would just watch it for no good reason, even though we hated it and mocked it consistently. And Secret Life is kind of like the PG-13 version of Seventh Heaven. It's, you know, they actually have sex on this show, unlike the show about the preacher's family. But I just think it's a ridiculous show. They have parents doing terrible things, like, that they wouldn't do in real life. Just, you know, on on a dime, they just, like, drop their spouse and go with somebody else, and then they come back to their spouse, and then they go with someone else again, or they get divorced because, you know, their secretary, like, kissed them on the cheek or something. It's ridiculous. The parents are worse than the teenagers. And then they have these totally random things that they'll just pop up that aren't consistent with the story, like Ricky, the teen dad, suddenly is now the valedictorian, and, you know, we never really heard anything about him being a particularly good student, but, you know, it was just convenient to write it in that week, and it gave them a nice scene. So that show, I could rag on it all day. I wonder if any of the other listeners love to hate Secret Life, or if you guys have seen it. Sounds like maybe you have. I'm wondering if that's one of Katie's influences on you. But keep up the great podcast, and thanks for all the work you're doing to, you know, it's hard out there, you know, read books, listen to music, and watch TV. Someone's got to do it for the rest of us. So thanks very much, and I will stay tuned in. Bye.
Thanks for your call, Megan. Great message. I have to say, no, Katie's not watching it. We're not watching it. I didn't know anything about The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
I don't know anything about it except Chelsea Handler loves to rip on it.
Are there any shows that you love to hate that you watched simply because it's fun to make fun of it while you're watching it?
I can't think of any contemporary ones, but I used to do that to 90210. I used to love to make fun of 90210.
Yeah, I think that might have been in that boat as well. The whole Mystery Science Theater 3K thing and bad television is a fantastic a combination, but it's, you know, Shailene Woodley, she did fantastic in The Descendants.
She did great.
And apparently, from what I understand, she is the best part of that show, The Secret Life, and except the rest of it is completely ridiculous. Some of the reviews on Metacritic are actually hilarious in terms of how they're ragging on it. So this show might go into that unintentional comedy bin, something you might want to check out. Hey, I mean, Molly Ringwald is in it. That might
Poor
be worth
Molly.
Something. Poor Molly. Let's move on to television with another fantastic voicemail. I love the voicemail.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, this is Barry in Wisconsin. I have a couple things that I disagree with you about your TV Tuesday show this week. First off, I really, really enjoyed Once Upon a Time. And for the reason that I was hooked with these characters, I did get involved with this fairy tale story and this great evil that got put upon them. And I want to see what happens, like, with their transition from the fantasy world to the real world and their development of realizing who they are, what they're supposed to be doing, and how they interact with each other in the real world versus how your stereotypical reactions are to them from the fantasy world. And the character of Emma, I think she's the most charismatic, actually, person in the show because she is the most innocent of all the characters. She is not a fairy tale character. You never heard about Snow White having a daughter and putting her in a tree, and then she's gone. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see where they go. My one fault with the show is I don't know how long they can carry it on. I don't think this is a 5 or 6 season show. It's maybe a 1 or 2 season show. So that's my point on Once Upon a Time. And my other issue is with The Walking Dead. I think the setup for this season is the survivors have found this oasis, this hamlet, this little farmhouse that seems to be nearly unaffected by the zombie apocalypse. And they found it through such horrible circumstances with Rick's son being shot. And now, what are they going to do now? Are they going to choose to stay in this hamlet, or are they going to choose to keep wandering around aimlessly searching for what? I think they're going to find that they have a good thing here, and they're going to defend it. It's like, I think that's going to be the story. What are you willing to do to defend this happy place? Not happy place, but this serene place you've found in all this madness. And I think with what Shane did at the end of episode 3, I think it shows how far they are willing to go to protect their group. So those are my issues with those two shows this week. I haven't watched Grimm because basically it's on NBC, and after the event, I refuse to watch anything on NBC ever again. So thanks for the show. Thanks for the podcast. Thanks for you guys being you. Aloha, and I will talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thanks for your call, Barry. As much as I love voicemail, I love feedback that disagrees with us. Mm-hmm. Although I have to say, I think we now agree with you on Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, it has gotten better. I was not a fan of the pilot, really, but I think that the storytelling has really evolved and the characters have gotten a lot more interesting. And I really can't wait to see what kind of interesting twists they put on the show next.
Yeah, the fantasy side, which was what I was not really fond of from the pilot, is starting to grow on me. It's fun because it looks like they're being very specific about it, moving further and further back in time, kind of a reverse chronology in terms of the backstory of these characters. So I do like that cleverness. I do like the acting. I think in the real world, Emma is fantastic. In the fantasy world, the evil stepmother is really delicious. So mm-hmm. I'm enjoying the show a lot more. Meanwhile, Grimm, I mean, we're still watching Grimm. The pilot really sucked us in, but now it's kind of treading water to me.
It's really sort of your standard procedural. I like this show when it focuses on the drawings and the books and the mythology and the things that the characters on the fantasy side have to say to each other. I think that is the interesting part. And the police procedural, not so much. I would really love more mythology and more stuff that I can sink my teeth into.
So basically, we're kind of saying the opposite of what we did perhaps when we reviewed these two shows. I think that Grimm, I just want more balance there. But I do think Once Upon a Time has redeemed itself. We're on board. Finally, about Walking Dead, I'm sorry. I mean, I still think that this is kind of a slow season. It's a good season. It's a slow burn. They're doing that well. I think maybe that's what AMC is going to be known for. And I will admit that Herschel's Farm, as long as they're stuck there, has certainly gotten a lot more interesting.
As of the last episode, yes, it is certainly more interesting now.
I do love finally what Barry says about NBC, you know, never going to trust them again after the event, because very timely, there was news out this week about NBC's mid-season schedule, the way their schedule is going to look like in January, and they're dropping both Community and Prime Suspect.
Boo!
Boo! Boo! Prime Suspect, our favorite show of the new season. I guess it didn't really find an audience. It hasn't really found its footing, which is a pity. But Community, we just got really into Community. It has gotten really good, really clever, and now they're not sure what they're going to do with those shows. So I think we might be with Barry on the NBC thing. Let's move on to another voicemail from Daniel.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ryan. And Jen, I hope you have fun, too. This is Daniel from Boston calling back again. I didn't know it was Ryan's birthday. I'm catching up, obviously, and just heard Friday's feedback. One more Wednesday show idea, and maybe this is too late, but I thought I'd offer it anyway. I have never been to Hawaii and really don't know much about the structure of the islands. So I know, you know, you talked about Hilo and you talked about the Big Island. It might be helpful just to do a basic review of Hawaii geography, Hawaii history, Hawaiian culture, Hawaiian language. I'm not sure sort of how the show would operate, but maybe sort of a brief Google Maps tour, if you will, of Hawaii itself. Because, for someone who's not been to Hawaii and really hasn't studied Hawaii, it's wonderful to hear your shows about Hawaii, but I really don't have much of a frame of reference, so I really think that would be very helpful. So that's my today's idea about what would be great for the Wednesday shows. Thanks, and happy birthday, and enjoy your week off, and I look forward to hearing from you guys next week. Thanks. Bye.
Well, first of all, Daniel, thanks for the serenade, for the song. You know, I had a great birthday week off. Didn't have Veterans Day off. APEC was here. Everyone was stuck on the roads for hours, but your song made everything all better. And thanks for the Wildcard Wednesday suggestion. And in fact, Daniel has sent in a number of them. We might work on a few of those. Always helpful. But Hawaii 101, that is a really big topic. I don't even know where to begin with that one.
No, there are so many things that encompass life in Hawaii. Language, culture, geography. I really don't know where to start. So I think maybe the way to go with this is do kind of a Q&A, just address whatever questions you guys have.
Yeah, in fact, we'll just start collecting them. Any question you ever had about Hawaii, even if it's like, do you really live on the beach in grass shacks and wear coconut bras? The answer there is no. But, you know, anything like that, maybe we can compile them and do a Q&A about Hawaii. We do have some topics in our back pocket, like a food tour of Oahu. Unfortunately, in terms of the other islands, you've never been to Kauai. Hawaii.
No, I
and,
haven't.
I've been to Maui, and I'm not crazy about Maui, so I don't feel, you know, qualified there. But I'm glad that there's interest in these shows about Hawaii. It's kind of a flashback to our early days of podcasting and Hawaii Up back in 2005. Ah, those awkward days. So yeah, we're glad that you like it, and we're going to keep doing those. But yes, send in your Hawaii suggestions. Let's change the topic now and go to our correspondent, Jeff.
Hey, Ryan and Jen, this is Jeff Gentry, X-Force 11, calling in with another music cues for Pop Spotting. I'd like to tell you about a group called Bison. Bison is a group that is out of the Chesapeake, Virginia area. Their musical style, they call it folkestral, combining elements of alternate folk with classical sensibilities. They're a group of family and friends that have gathered together to make music. It's very unique. It's very cool. The closest equivalent I could probably give you to it would be probably Mumford & Sons. If you enjoy Mumford & Sons and even the Civil Wars, you'll enjoy this. It is a great CD. It's called Quill. Is their name, their first CD, Quill. They've got it out on now on CD Baby and Bandcamp, and it will be out on Amazon and iTunes very soon. They have a Facebook page, facebook.com/bisonfolk, BISONFOLK. Their title track is outstanding, Quill. Iscariot is the second one, the track after that one, and it is great as well. It's a neat mix, great harmonies, uses of percussion and mandolin and different instruments. It's just a great sound, so I advise you to check it out, get their CD. I just love them. I heard them thanks to people in my church who they're relatives of, listen to their stuff on Facebook, listen to their YouTube videos of kind of live concert, just fell in love with it and snapped up a CD as soon as I could get one. So check it out. You'll love it. Thanks, guys. Bye.
It's always great to hear from Jeff. He has such great musical selections for us, and I think we're going to go broke buying them all.
You ain't kidding.
This is Quill from Bison.
Yes, when the ink meets quill, with love my letters are filled. Let us seal this love as the back of the envelope sealed with rhyme. We will rhyme away from those who lead us astray. Searching hard, we will fully rely on the grace you one crucified.
That was Quill from Bison. What'd you think?
That's wonderful. I love that it's so many different things at once, as are a lot of Jeff's picks. It's a little bit country, a little bit bluegrass, and it definitely has a rock rhythm and feel.
Yeah, I keep using the word stompy. I think that, you know, I said Jeff has our number. I think Jeff is also revealing a very distinct style or interest that he's into, but it's certainly something that we are now big fans of. He talked about Mumford & Sons and the Civil Wars. This is right along those lines, and another great pick. We love getting your feedback. The week off was good for us because it was starting to seem like Feedback Friday was becoming an endangered species, and all of a sudden everybody picked up the phone. I know if you're shy, it's kind of hard. You can do multiple takes. I won't use the embarrassing ones where you have to hang up, but please do reach out. Your feedback is the fuel that keeps us going. Whether you agree or disagree with our reviews of movies, music, books, or apps, we want to hear from you.
There are many ways you can do that. You can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can email us feedback@popspotting.net, or you can comment on our blog at popspotting.net.
Go ahead and put that number in your phone. Save it. Put it in your contacts, 815-310-0808. Or, of course, you can do what Jeff does and a few of our callers, which is just record audio right on their iPhone with the voice memos or whatever machinery and equipment they have on hand, and just send us an MP3 or WAV file. We love to hear your voices. You can also post your thoughts on the Pop Spotting page at Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting. That's where other listeners can see your comments and start a conversation.
You can also connect with us on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting, twitter.com/Hawaii, and twitter.com/Mrs. Hawaii.
If you like podcasts as much as we do, you know that it's sometimes hard to keep up with them all, and syncing files can be a pain. Fortunately, there's Stitcher Smart Radio. It's a free app for iPhone, Android, and other smartphones that lets you easily stream the latest episode of your favorite podcast, including Pop Spotting.
We'll be back soon with more pop talk. For now, we want to thank Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for our theme song.
And we want to say thank you all for listening to our little show. For Pop Spotting, I'm Ryan.
I'm Jen.
Aloha.